Okay, thank you. We're out of time on this portion of the agenda. So, again, we're going to move on to committee and task force reports. The first one up on the agenda is the ED CFO Executive Search Committee. Alex Steinberg, Chair. Go ahead, Alex. You have the floor.
Okay, I just wanted to quickly bring the board up to date on what's been happening on the ED CFO search. First of all, we have some ads in place for both the ED and the CFO position. I'm going to put a few more ads up in the next day or two. The ads have been placed on sites that are geared toward members of various minority groups. I'm also looking for sites that are geared toward professionals, either people with a background that's similar to a CFO or an ED. I've also been able to save us some money because I have both jobs under one single ad since they're due at the same time, and we can point from the ads to the detailed description on the Pacifica website. So so instead of placing a separate ad for the ED position, a separate ad for the CFO position, we're able to do both in one ad, so that saves us a little bit of money that way. The due date for the return of the applications has been moved to December 31st. Originally, we wanted something like a month earlier, but we've had various delays due to all sorts of issues. But we do have a pretty firm date at this time. Now, that being said, that means that the turnaround time from the time we receive and are able to review applications to the time we can forward recommendations to the full board is going to be very short. I am still hoping that we'll be able to bring recommendations to this board and have the board act on those recommendations before this board terms out, because I don't think we want to saddle the new incoming board with this job. It would really be unfair to do that, especially when there may be brand new people on that board who just don't know the lay of the land. It would really be a huge imposition. So if at all possible, I'm hoping we can do that. There's no guarantee we can do that, and there's certainly no guarantee that we'll have enough qualified applications by the due date to even bring forward some recommendations, but that's my hope at this time. The full descriptions are posted on the Pacifica website. I've had some issues getting the other station websites to coordinate with what's on the Pacifica website, and that's just a lingering problem. Some of the websites have a description of one of the jobs and not the other. Some of them have the wrong due date on there. Some of them list the jobs as local station jobs instead of jobs at the national office. So it's kind of a mess. But the ads themselves have a link to the description on the Pacifica website. I think the station websites are just not really playing much of a role in this job search at this point, which is unfortunate, but that's the way it is. The other thing is I think we may have to supplement the ads and go to a search firm. And for that, we're going to look for some assistance from the national office, because hiring a search firm is not something that anyone on our committee could do on their own. So that's just a heads up on that. What else do I want to bring out? As far as the mechanics, we are going to have the whatever applications come in are going to go to a secure repository on the Pacifica server, and they will be available to all the committee members. And If some of the board members are not on the committee, you wish to view some of these, they can certainly do so as well. But it will be on a secure site. That's about it. Are there any questions?
Alex,
okay.
Teresa here.
Thank you, Alex. Go ahead, Teresa.
Alex, do you want to explain why we think we need the we'll need a search firm and what for what specifically, and why we can't use our HR service for that?
Well, I don't think we have anything to lose by going to a search firm because, the kind of search firm we'll go to will be a search firm that'll simply charge us only if their applicant gets the job. The reason we may want to go to a search firm is simply to supplement the list of potential candidates in case we don't get enough from the ads. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Yeah, George.
Go ahead, George.
When do you think a decision would be made to do that, and how long would it take to get a search firm working for us and actually producing some results?
I'm hoping that could be done in the next few days. It's kind of up to whatever the national office resource I can get for that.
Well, if I may at this point, just from past experience dealing with search firms, including nothing of my choosing, but firms that have been used by this organization before, it can be extremely expensive if, in fact, you do get a candidate in the, well over $10,000, let's put it that way, is what I've certainly seen owed to a search firm previously that was employed to hire a much lower-level position. So just to be aware of that, it may not cost anything at the front end to say we want to utilize a search firm, but if you do end up picking a candidate from a search firm, there will be significant fees entailed, I believe. So dealing with temp firms, one has to be quite careful to make sure that one isn't signing up for anything where there's going to be just some huge, huge fee owed because you're utilizing personnel from there. So I'm happy to work with Alex. I don't think there would be necessarily significant costs at the front end. I think it's at the back end if that were used.
Well, that is correct, and we haven't made any definite decision about a search firm or not a search firm. I'm just posing that as a possibility in case we don't have enough worthy candidates.
Sure, and obviously this office will do whatever's necessary to facilitate the process. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
We're out of time.
Thank you, Bill. Okay. Next on the agenda then is Finance Committee. Tracy Rosenberg, Chair. Motion 1, PRA budget. Tracy, are you ready to take the floor?
Yeah, I think so. Thanks, Summer.
Thank you.
We basically, as I understand it, I'm going to check the agenda right now, but I think we only have one piece of business here, which is the archives budget. This is the last of the divisional budgets that we need to pass. We have passed five stations and national six, so this is our seventh divisional budget. Once we do this, we'll simply have a consolidated budget, which will simply be all the numbers put together with no further changes, so this is really the last decision that we have to make. I sent you guys two files. One was called your FY 2013 PRA budget, the other FY 2012 PRA budget. I apologize for the fact it's on two separate spreadsheets. That's the way it came to us from the archives department. In another world, I would have tried to transfer the 2012 actuals budget and actuals into the original document, but it didn't happen. But you can put them together and do a side-by-side comparison, which is how the NFC reviewed the budget. We did not end up making any changes to what came from Brian and Mariana, but we did have several hours of conversation and go over the numbers in actually two separate meetings. Just to sort of summarize, and this archives budget is fairly similar to previous archives budgets, so people who have looked at these documents before shouldn't see any stunning surprises or huge changes. Non-shared services revenue is projected to be $316,000. As we know, we completed our November archives fundraiser, our targets, so we know that most of that is real, and we are anticipating about $95,000 in archive sales to basically compose that number. We are looking at total expenses for archives of $528,000. So they are covering from sales and revenue approximately 55 to 58% of their budget. That includes personnel costs of $412,000, administrative expenses of $49,000, program expenses of $18,000, and development expenses of $48,000. Shared services income, which is simply moved over from the five station budgets that we've already approved, $265,000, if it all transfers as scheduled, which we hope to be the case. And then we will be looking at net income of $53,000 for that division. A couple of things need to be said. One is that the size of the surplus is partially in order to allow a little bit of wiggle room if some shared services payments are unable to materialize or quite delayed. And we talked a great deal about what the history of that is and, you know, what level of surplus we were comfortable with. It's also worth saying that the archives is continuing to pursue outside grant funding, and the likelihood of that is certainly no lower than 50-50. And those funds are not accounted for in this budget, nor are the expenses that would be associated with this grant. But that seems likely or at least possible to materialize, and it would have an impact on their month-to-month cash flow. But as of the time of the approval of the budget, and in fact as of now, that was not assured, so we didn't put it into our financial planning for that division. So I guess that's pretty much it, unless people have questions for me, and the NFC is recommending passage of this budget.
This is Lydia.
Yes, Lydia.
This is November 29th. What took so long? What were the problems that prevented this from coming earlier, both to the board and to the...
Basically, Brian was waiting to get some shared services figures and sales to station figures from the other station budgets. Because, of course, they have to be plugged into the archives budget. And I had sent him some of the numbers that I had from the NFC. He had gotten some slightly different numbers from the former CFO, and we were getting those numbers and misunderstandings reconciled prior to the NFC. The other thing that happened was the archives fundraiser, which happened about 2 weeks ago. And so we did a little bit of delaying the NFC approval process because obviously it takes all the effort of the archive staff to run that fund drive, and they were very successful. They made their goal, and so they kind of said, we'll get right back to this as soon as the fund drive is over, and we respected that. Because it's an important chunk of their annual income, and they have to give it their 100% effort.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions regarding this budget, other members? Okay. If not, is there a motion to pass the budget, Tracy? It's brought before us. Will someone move the budget?
It's a committee motion.
Thank you. So, is there any objection to this to approving this budget? All right. Hearing none. Once, twice, three times. Sounds like the budget's approved by unanimous consent. Thank you, Tracy.
You're welcome. I don't believe there are any other finance committee motions on the agenda, are there? Do I need to open up an agenda?
Not that I see on the agenda, Tracy. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, so next up we have the governance committee motion, George Ryder, chair, and I believe the first one may be null and void because I've already ruled that this is so the breaches of confidentiality from a legal perspective certainly do not allow that committee to continue.
But, Tracy for the staff.
Let me take the floor because he's the chair, and I'll let him decide what he wants to do with those motions, okay? And, Tracy, you can...
Given that, in fact, this the whole issue has become moot because that procedure has been suspended, I would move to table this motion.
Okay. Thank you. Tracy, you have to be on the stack. I don't know if somebody wants a second tabling or...
I will go ahead and second the table.
Okay. And did you have something you wish to say as well?
It's not debatable.
No. Okay. Thank you, George. All right. Is there any objection to tabling? Okay. Hearing none. It sounds like the motion is tabled, along with the amendment attached there, too.
Right.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. George, you have a second motion on the Governance Committee regarding confidentiality. Yes?
Yeah. So this was referred from the CMB, and the issue was a member of the NFC, their concept of confidentiality was such that they were willing to give out information from executive sessions that clearly should have been kept confidential, but they didn't agree. And so what the NFC did was to essentially stop having executive sessions. They felt they didn't have the authority to do what this motion does, which is to say a person who declares that they are not going to keep confidentiality will simply be asked to excuse themselves from the meetings, and we go ahead and have the executive sessions. This applies not just to the NFC, of course. It applies to all the committees and subcommittees, which means that the LSBs, as well as the subcommittees of the LSB. It's not intended to handle all the problems that we have with confidentiality. It's just intended to handle the problems where we have someone who, out of some sense of principle, declares that they simply can't abide by what the what our standards are for confidentiality, and it essentially says that they will be asked to recuse themselves from the meetings, that not asked, they'll be required to recuse themselves from the meetings. So I guess I should read it for the stream, but that is the sense of it.
You could read it for the stream, George. Go ahead, please. Thank you.
Yeah. Whereas the agreement to keep confidential all matters discussed in executive session applies to committee and subcommittees of the PMB that need to meet in executive session, and where it is PMB policy that the only information that can be reported out of an executive session is that which is agreed upon by the members at that session. It is therefore the policy of the PMB that any member of a committee or subcommittee who is unwilling to meet that standard of confidentiality shall be required to recuse themselves from executive sessions of this committee or subcommittee. That was passed by the committee 14-0.
Thank you, George. Other people for the stack? No? Anybody?
Ken to the stack.
Go ahead, Ken.
Well, I approve of the intent. My concern here is in the adjudication. It would be fine if everybody agrees the person was considered to have violated the confidentiality, and everybody agrees unanimously. But otherwise, without defining a protocol for determining it, I don't see how it could be implemented, because somebody may say, well, I spoke with another member of the committee, outside of the committee. I said what kind of hat somebody wore. That's not confidential. Or I just disagree.
Can you speak up, please, Ken?
My concern is that there's no system of adjudication to determine it. To determine it being correct. So,
I'm sorry, Ken, we're not really understanding you. What are you? It is very hard to hear you. Can you speak up and articulate
okay,
what the issue is?
Okay, yeah, the statement, the policy that any member of a committee who has been, who violates the confidentiality is recused from the meetings, the executive meetings. And I'm saying there's no way to adjudicate that that's been that has occurred. If I'm on a committee and I say Joe violated confidentiality and has to recuse himself from executive meetings, or if Joe says that about me, there's no protocol here for determining it.
Tracy for the stack.
Go ahead, Tracy.
I think that the intent of the motion is simply to allow the committees to use whatever process they feel is appropriate to adjudicate it, should they have this problem, which I don't think happens every day. I think maybe Ken is getting a little on the micromanaging side. Obviously, if there is a problem and things seem to be proceeding in an unfair way, the whole PNB will hear about it. We have no doubt of that. And as the super committee, we can certainly intervene in a particular situation if the adjudication seems to be unclear or if there are accusations of unfairness that seem to be merited. At this point, I feel like setting up an entire system of alternative courts and hearings is a little bit of overkill. All that we're really trying to do is help committees problem solve should they have a problem. So my preference would be that we simply pass a fairly straightforward, simple motion and not overcomplicate the matter.
Thank you. Tracy, were you supporting the motion or just an amendment there too?
I am supporting the motion as written, and if it's okay, I'll just go ahead and move that we approve it.
Fantastic.
This is Ifea. I'd like to comment on the motion.
I'm sorry, who was the second for the secretary?
Ali.
Thank you, Ali. Ifea, go ahead, please.
I want to join Ken in his criticism of the motion. I think that the failure to have an objective standard and process for addressing such allegations does not bode well for the organization and is... places the organization in a position for litigation. So I think that it's much more, regardless of the best intentions of the makers of the motion, the reality is that it's a subjective standard and it varies from person to person, personality to personality, situation to situation, and that is the basis of lawsuits.
Be on the stack at the end of this discussion to respond, Summer.
Of course, George, I'll let you close out as maker of the the committee chair. Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't bring. Yeah, okay. No problem, George. Mm-hmm. Afia, I'm sorry, were you done?
Yes, I am, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that wished to be heard on this matter?
You're Carolyn on the stack.
Okay, Carolyn, anyone else? I'll put you last, George.
Mm-hmm. Bill?
Thank you.
Bill? Okay, so Carolyn, Bill, George, thus far. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Yeah, thank you. I think the it's not subjective if the committee agrees that what has just transpired in that committee is confidential. We know what does not pass that test, but we also know what does. So I think at this point we should trust the committees to determine when they've had a closed session and when they haven't, and when they agree, if the entire committee agrees that something is confidential or a proceeding or a prospective meeting is in closed session, that should be enough. I don't think that we're subjecting ourselves to litigation by following that standard. I think if after someone who has been forced to accuse him or herself does so and objects and then goes through a procedure to the PNB, et cetera, at that point, we may be thinking about litigation, but at the moment, I don't think there's much chance of it if a committee clearly defines what they mean as confidential. I don't think we need an amendment to that effect. I think everybody is sensible enough to know that.
Summer, this is Heather. I'd like to ask a question as well.
Of course, Heather. Is it a point of information type of question?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, it's somewhat of a point of information. I'd like to ask George or the committee members, the motion calls for something that's agreed upon by the members of the session. So is there a process in mind here, George? I mean, after a decision is made, is there to be some discussion about what can be allowed out or not, or what's meant by that statement?
We do that on the PNB regularly. At the end of the meeting, we decide what can be reported out in public. Anything else remains confidential. So that's the standard that you have to be willing to abide by what the majority of the committee says should be reported out. Anything else should not be reported out. So that's what we're saying, and I agree with Carolyn. It's not a subjective statement. It's you know, there would be some declaration at the end of the meeting. This is what's allowed to report it out. If you say anything else, it's not. So, and I hope that answered the question, Heather. Did it?
It does somewhat, but forgive me, Summer. I have another question about the third part of this motion, which is people recusing themselves. So, how would that be done? I mean, or how would anyone know that there were certain individuals who were involved in revealing information from the executive meeting? I mean, this concerns me as well. I mean, I have concerns along the lines of what Ken was saying. It seems, I know we had these discussions before, and I'm sure that the committee was trying to address some of those concerns, but still, I'm concerned about process here, I guess, and pointing fingers or whatever. This concerns me, actually. So how would that be done? How would, I mean, people are just supposed to, on their own, recuse themselves? Is that the process here? And so you come to a meeting, you come to a board meeting, and people will say, well, we heard that thus and such or this, that, and the other person was involved in revealing information that should not have been revealed. I don't know. How would that be done? Could you explain that to me?
I'm sure I'll let George respond. I mean, there's other recusal issues. This is a different situation. So, I would have guidance on regular recusals. Go ahead, George.
We're not trying to deal with the situations of people saying that they're going to keep confidentiality and then not doing it. That's not what's at issue here. What's at issue here is setting a clear enough standard for what's supposed to be kept confidential, so that somebody can say yes or no. I'm willing to go along with that. Prior to the meeting, this came up because essentially people were disagreeing about what confidentiality meant to them. And so this sets a standard for, and that's what it says explicitly, it sets a standard for what you mean by confidentiality. It means that I as a member, am willing to agree that I will not reveal anything that we as a group don't agree to reveal. Now, people may break that, and then you have problems with that. But whatever standard of confidentiality you set, there's always problems with that. And we're not trying to handle that. We're not trying to deal with all that, you know, how do you go about, you know, punishing people who don't keep confidentiality. What we're trying to deal with is the situation that actually occurred on the NFC, where someone said, well, I don't think I should have to keep that confidential. This says, yeah, well, what you have to keep confidential is what we agree is confidential. And if you're not willing to make that agreement, if you're not willing to accept that, if you're not willing to accept what the majority says can be reported out, then you have to recuse yourself. You can't be present at this meeting. That's what it says. Now, people can say, okay, I'm going to do this, and then not do it. And again, we're not trying to deal with that, with lack of integrity and violating confidentiality when it's clear what the confidentiality is. People have principle. People have. It's happened at the PNB level as well. People have sort of principled objections to committing to confidentiality in some cases. That's what happened on the NFC. But this says is, well, you know, whatever principles you've got, majority rule on what's going to be reported out is going to have to be the standard. And you have to agree to that. And if you don't agree to that, then you can't really be here at this meeting.
Hey, thank you, George. Bill was next on stack. Heather, did that answer your question sufficiently?
Just one clarification on this. I apologize about this. But so before a topic is discussed, then the decision would be made by the board whether or not it would be reported out. Is that right?
No, okay. No. It's
because
you were saying
if so, then people couldn't participate in that discussion. Is that right? I thought that was my understanding.
Going into the discussion, they have to agree that they're not going to say anything that the group doesn't say should be reported out.
Right. So it's before the discussion takes place.
Before the discussion takes place. That's right.
Right.
They have to agree to that standard of
point of information.
Of what confidentiality means.
Right. All right.
Point of information.
Yes, Teresa.
It isn't that confidentiality that you're talking about. Isn't that what anybody means when they're talking about going into executive session? So you don't really need to have a discussion like that up front. If you're going into an executive session, people that are on our boards or on our committees should understand at the very beginning. In fact, here at KPFT, we sign a confidentiality agreement that we understand what confidentiality is. And that should apply any time you go into executive session. Am I correct or not?
You are correct. Presumptively, executive session, exactly that. By being in executive session, you presumptively agree to keep the matters therein confidential, and any breach of that is a violation. George, I don't know if you want to elaborate on that, but, I mean, that is the very meaning of executive session.
And the problem is that we have people and have had people in other circumstances who say, well, I don't think that's what it means by confidential. What this says is, what it means by confidential is what the group says means has to be kept confidential. And I agree to that. That is to say, going in, you agree that you will accept the decision of the group made at the end of the discussion as to what can be released out. It seems to me that's the minimal, and if it's actually abided by, it's all that's really necessary in terms of making confidentiality work.
Point of order, I believe we should return to the queue. We're eating up too much time.
Thank you, Ken. The next person on the stack is Bill, actually. Thank you. And then we should be done with this because we're past time. There was time certain for 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay. Well, actually, I think on the revised agenda, we had another 30 minutes.
Fine, but we still might be past time on this agenda item.
Yeah,
go
okay.
ahead.
Well, that's quick. I support the motion. I understand Ken's concern, but we discussed this quite a bit in the committee. It did pass without any objection in the committee. Just another example, one of the committees of the PNB are the LSBs, and at KPFT LSB, we were not able to have an executive session for a number of months last year because one of the members did not agree with the confidentiality requirements. And if you don't have something like this, it just takes one member to block having an executive session. And again, the same thing happened on the NFC. So I just don't want to overly complicate it. It just makes it clear that the person's expected to recuse themselves if they cannot agree to confidentiality so that the committee can function.
Thank you, Bill. All right, George, I think you've elaborated on it quite a bit, but if you want to make a closing remark, go ahead.
No, I think I've said all that needed to be said about it.
Okay, thank you so much.
Motion.
I'm sorry?
This is Efi. I'd like to make a motion.
A substitute or an amendment to the motion that's currently on the floor?
That's correct.
Which is it, a substitute or an amendment?
It would be an amendment.
Okay, and what is that amendment, please?
The amendment is the structure and process that George has described would be incorporated in the language of the motion.
Do you have language for that, Afia?
I just gave you the language. The language that he has described as process would be incorporated in his motion.
I'm sorry, George. You did actually state what that process was. I'm sure the secretaries probably have got
it. It is stated rather clearly. I'll read it again if you like.
Thank
point
you, please.
Information.
I'm sorry, Teresa, what's the point of information?
Is there even a second for this amendment?
I don't know. Actually, let's find out. Thank you. Is there a second?
It comes out of committee and doesn't need a
No, not for your motion, George. For Afia's, and Afia's isn't a substitute. It's an amendment, actually. But go ahead. Is there a second for Afia's amendment? Okay, it doesn't sound like this.
Sorry, this is Heather. I'll second it.
Okay, there's a second. Okay, go ahead, George.
Let me read it again.
You can go ahead and read the motion, but the maker of the amendment is the one who needs to actually write the language. So go ahead, George, read the motion, please.
Whereas the agreement to keep confidential all matters discussed in the executive session applies to committees and subcommittees of the PMB that need to meet in executive session, and whereas it is PMB policy that the only information that can be reported out of an executive session is that which is agreed upon by the members of the session. It is therefore the policy of the PNB that any member of a committee or subcommittee who is unwilling to meet that standard of confidentiality, that is to say, you agree not to report out anything that the that the committee or subcommittee hasn't agreed to be reported out. It is therefore the policy of the PNB that any member of a committee or subcommittee who is unwilling to meet that standard of confidentiality shall be required to recuse themselves from executive sessions of the committee or subcommittee.
What is it that changed?
Point
it seems
of order.
To lay out the process right there in the motion.
Point of order.
I'm sorry, who's the point of order?
Campbell.
Campbell, go ahead, please.
Yes. We have confidentiality statement and or an agreement, and you know I would trust that at some point everybody is requested to sign this, and all signatories to that agreement are held, you know, are bound by the terms of that agreement. Now, one of the things that usually these agreements contain is that if the information that is presumed to be or requested to be confidential is discovered someplace else, then you're no longer held to that particular confidentiality, even though it was in a committee meeting or something. But if you identify that, say, in the newspaper, the same information, you're not required to keep it confidential. So I think that going beyond the four corners of the agreement, you know, we just need to talk about, it seems to me, in such a action to in bring some disciplinary function to this, to speak of it in terms of the confidentiality agreement and not to go beyond that to say, well, if anything is said to be confidential here, then it's confidential. But if it's discovered elsewhere, then, you know, the confidentiality agreement doesn't apply, and I think we're getting ourselves, you know, into a legal morass that we don't need to. So if
Thank you, Campbell. For future reference, that's not a point of order. However, your point is taken. It sounds like you're speaking against the main motion. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe so. Well, certainly against what was what Bill just read.
George just read. And Afia, I think you'll have to have language on your amendment because George, the motion lays out a process. So if there's something additional you'd like to add, if you could please give language to that, then the amendment could be voted on.
Would you, George, again, read the section that is characterized as process?
George, please don't paraphrase anything as to what it might mean. Just read the motion
Whereas it is PNB policy that the only information that can be reported out of an executive session is that which is agreed upon by the members of the session. By the members at the session. It is therefore the policy of the PNB that any member of a committee or subcommittee who is unwilling to meet that standard of confidentiality shall be required to recuse themselves from executive sessions of the committee or subcommittee.
Okay, thank you. So if you have some amendment language, Afia, go ahead and present it now, please.
I would add to that that such determination having been made after which determination precedes the discussion. The issue under discussion.
I'm sorry, Afia, we can't hear you. Are you on mute?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, wait a minute. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can, please. Go ahead and start at the beginning as to your amendment. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Sorry about that, Afia. I was saying if you could please just go ahead and start at the beginning of your amendment because I'm not sure what point we lost you there.
That it at the end it would be added that when the language would be when the discussion of the item I don't have George's motion in front of me, so I'm trying to hear what he's saying and recall what he's saying and the issues that it generates.
Point of order, this is Ken.
Yes, Ken, what's your point of order?
An amendment that hasn't been stated. So
thank you.
Call a question on the amendment.
Thank you, Ken. I'm sorry, Afia, do you have language for the amendment or not?
Yes, I do. Just a moment.
Thank you.
Just a moment.
We are past time on this agenda item at this point. We do need to go to a vote.
Just a moment. Just a moment.
Just as a point of order, I won't push it, Summer, but we were past time before this amendment was made.
I know we were, George. I'm just trying to be considerate of the members' desire to make an amendment. So if the language shortly, we will go ahead and take a vote on it. If not, we'll move on to the main motion.
Oh, rats. I'm sorry. Could you...
Point of order. This accommodation is destroying the meeting.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Afia. We can't wait forever for language to be crafted on an amendment.
The language is that this standard applies when it precedes a discussion of any given item.
So you would suggest this would have to come to a decision during the course of an executive session at every point a new item on the agenda occurs? Is that what your amendment is?
It would certainly have to occur at the outset of an executive session.
Can I suggest the language that I think will accommodate what Afia wants? And
if you would like to do that, George, and we can move on with the agenda, certainly.
It's implicit in the motion, but I could make it explicit, and it's simple. So if I could, I'll suggest the wording and see if it works for Afia.
Go ahead, George.
It is therefore the policy of the PMB that any member of a committee or subcommittee who is unwilling to meet that standard of confidentiality prior to the committee meeting shall be required to recuse themselves from executive sessions of the committee or subcommittee.
Prior to the committee meeting and the issuance of the wherein the agenda is issued, one of the issues is of notice.
I call the question.
Sorry, Afia. We can't go on all night like this. I don't understand what you mean. The issue is of notice. People get the agenda. They know what's on the agenda. At the front end of the meeting, this can be decided. Is that your intention, George, with the substitute language? Is that at the beginning of the meeting, someone who does not desire to keep the matters within the meeting confidential shall recuse him or herself at that point?
Yes. Someone who's not willing to accept the standard will recuse themselves, yes.
Okay, thank you. Afia, does that satisfy what you were looking for? Because we cannot go on all night towards other things. We are well past time trying to be accommodating towards your amendment.
I'm simply saying that the agenda has to precede the discussion and the requirement to recuse oneself. Otherwise, you're...
Point of order here. Every member has a right to vote yay or nay on a motion. You can't take all night to keep crafting it back.
Yeah, okay. And Afia, presumptively the agenda is set at the beginning of the meeting, and presumptively at that point, if one were going to recuse oneself, one would do it at that point. I think we're going to...
Exactly.
Okay. So are you okay with the language that George has crafted for you?
When the agenda proceeds...
At the beginning of the meeting satisfies the agenda requirement for which you are looking. The agenda occurs at the beginning of every meeting. Okay, we're going to have to go with that. If you support the amended language, you will vote yes or no or abstain. If it is passed, it will become part of the main motion, and then we will vote again on the main motion. If it does not pass, we will go straight to the main motion. Madam Secretary, could you call the roll, please? Well, first, is there any objection to the amendment? Perhaps there is not.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I object.
Will you call the roll, please? Thank you.
Ken Aaron.
No.
Ivan Alsame.
No.
Teresa Allen.
No. Can you hear me?
Yes. Nia Bediako.
Yes.
Wesley Bethune.
No.
Carolyn Burden.
No.
Lydia Verzon.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
No.
Kathy Davis.
Epstein.
Revelyn Gull. Can't hear you, Revelyn. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Campbell Johnson.
Yes.
Allie Lexa.
No.
Ifeah Juan Gaza votes yes. Laura Priebus.
Epstein.
Marcel Reed. Can't hear you, Marcel. George Ryder.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. George, I didn't hear your...
I'll pass.
Okay. Let's see. Tracy Rosenberg.
No on the amendment.
Alex Steinberg.
No.
Andrea Turner.
Yes on the amendment.
Thank you. Did Dan Siegel join us? Okay. George Ryder, how do you vote?
I'll abstain.
Okay. All right, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 no's. And 1, 2 abstentions.
I counted differently on the abstentions and the yeses.
Okay.
I have 3 abstentions.
You have what?
I think there were 3 abstentions. Maybe you counted one of those as a yes. I had Kathy, Laura, and George abstaining.
You had what?
I had Kathy, Laura, and George abstaining.
No. Nia voted yes.
So Kathy, Laura, and George.
I got the same 3 thing.
Yes, yes, that's correct. Nia voted yes.
You're not talking about Nia.
I have Kathy, Laura, and George abstaining. 3 abstentions.
Yeah, that's okay. It won't change the outcome of the
vote. I'm sorry, and how many yeses and noes, Madam Secretary?
7.
7, yes.
How many no?
9.
Thank you. 7, 9, 3, is that the count?
That is.
Thank you. The amendment fails. Now we're on to the main motion. Are there any objections to the main motion?
Yes.
Thank you. Madam Secretary, will you call the roll, please? A yes vote will support the main motion, a no will not, or you may abstain. Thank you.
And Aaron.
Yes.
Alvin Altman.
Yes.
Teresa Allen.
Yes.
Nia Bediako.
No.
Wesley Bethune.
Yes.
Carolyn Burden.
Yes.
Lydia Verzon.
No.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Kathy Davis.
Yes.
Revelyn Gull. Can't hear you, Revelyn. Heather Gray.
No.
Campbell Johnson.
Pass.
Alexa.
Yes.
Ifeah Juan Gaza. No. Laura Priebus.
No.
Marcel Reed.
Yes.
George Ryder.
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Yes.
Alex Steinberg.
Yes.
Andrea Turner.
No.
Campbell Johnson, how do you vote?
No.
Wesley Bethune, how do you vote?
No.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, no, and 0 abstentions. 11-8-0.
What was the final vote count, Madam Secretary?
11-8-0.
Motion carries. Thank you. All right. We're at 7:31 Pacific, 10:31 Eastern. We are at time for adjournment to executive session. I presume there is no objection to that. Very good. Motion is passed. Thank you, the public. Everyone, please rejoin us in a moment on executive session.
Thank you.